Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show.
We painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure.
Enjoy! Kid Craddock in the morning.
Here we are celebrating the 12 days of Swiftmas. So if you want to check out the 1989 World Tour, here's a hint. Be listening sometime in the next 30 minutes.
Okay. That's it.
That's the hint I'm giving.
That's all we got for you.
Sometime in the next 30 minutes.
All right.
If you want to go check out Taylor Swift. So I told you I did something I've wanted to do for a long time. I just never got the opportunity or the chance to do it.
Sword swallowing.
No, it's not sword swallowing. I don't like that for some reason.
Flame juggling.
No.
Rapping with Eminem.
Oh.
Oh, see? No, this thing that I did, it could be dangerous.
Yeah, that's why I was going with that dangerous.
Yeah,
sorry.
What I did could be dangerous. And it's not something you guys probably...
Stealing a building.
No, but I've done that. I've tried to do that. Didn't go so well.
Okay.
It's not something I've avoided.
Bungee jumping?
No, I've done that.
Race car driving.
I've done that.
Oh, you've done everything.
I know. I'm kind of a daredevil now thinking about that.
Oh, that squirrel suit? The flying squirrel suit?
Jenna, I would love to do that, but I have not done
it. That's ridiculous.
Kind of
people
awesome.
That do that.
I just realized that.
And I'm not saying I'm awesome. I'm saying I've done some daredevil stuff.
Yeah, when is
stuff.
A daredevil not considered awesome?
So this thing that I did is not something I've avoided. It's just something that I just haven't had the opportunity to do it until yesterday.
Okay.
I've always wanted to do this. I've wanted to give a hitchhiker a ride.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
I know.
Dude, I feel compassion for certain people who look really sad, but then I remember going past the funeral of the man in
my
church who picked up somebody hitchhiking who killed it.
But there's just something exciting about it. You know, you invite a stranger into your car.
You're crazy.
You talk about life.
I can see wanting to help. I don't know.
But, and this wasn't your typical hitchhiker. It wasn't like I was on a two-lane road in the middle of nowhere. This was at a gas station. I went to go get some gas because I didn't want to fill up in the morning.
Did he walk up to you and say, "Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute?"
Because it's a whooping.
Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute?
Nothing good happens after that.
It wasn't one of those where he was on the side of the road. He was at the gas station, so I'm filling up because getting gas in the morning for us is a whooping. It's too early.
I know.
Okay. I feel like it's more dangerous in the morning.
Probably.
Okay, so what time of day is this now?
It's about 6:30 at night.
6:30 p.m. So it's already dark.
It's already dark, yeah.
Right.
So I see this guy walking up to the station where I'm filling up, and then there's another gentleman filling up.
Okay.
And he's walking up, and the guy next to me sees this happening, and he is just starting to stare at the ground, make sure he doesn't make eye contact.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I accidentally make eye contact with the guy. And as soon as I make eye contact with him, he starts walking towards me.
Yeah.
So now I'm expecting this guy to walk up to me and be like,
"Excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute?
That's what
can
happens.
I have it? Could I have it?"
You know, I'm expecting him to ask me for something.
Mm-hmm. Money or gas.
Yeah. And he's going to give me some story about how his family is stranded and they need $20 and this and that. And then I noticed that he's holding this red gas can.
Okay.
And I said, okay, cool. If he asks.
Also, he's got props.
Yeah, he's got props. See, I'm more willing to give you gasoline than I am to give you cash. You know,
yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah, I will give you gas any day because you definitely need it.
Absolutely.
As long as
if I dared to make eye contact with you, which I had not.
Yeah.
But what if he takes that gas can after you fill it up, douses you with gasoline, and lights you on fire?
That's a
real possibility.
That is a possibility, Al. I wasn't thinking about that. So as he gets closer to me, he goes, "Excuse me, sir." And I said, "Okay, here we go. What's it going to be?"
How's he dressed?
He's dressed nice. He's wearing a nice jacket. He's wearing some jeans. He's wearing dress shoes.
So he's not like wearing homeless clothes?
No. And he had an African accent. Okay. He's about my height, bulkier than me.
Yeah.
So he's bigger than me.
So he could take you.
So he's South African?
No.
Like the British lilt sort of thing?
No, he was a brother.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
So a tribal African accent then.
I wouldn't call it a tribal accent.
How do you define an African accent?
Tribal. You think he's doing that kind of...
Well, I mean, JC, obviously it's an important part of the
story. Coming to America.
Okay, so
like
Eddie Murphy.
I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, like that, Al.
Okay.
Thank you. Right. Like the king from Lion King when we go to the Disney World show.
Oh, so he's royalty.
To me, he goes...
Tribal African accent.
Yeah, it wasn't a tribal African accent.
It's okay, so he goes, it's okay, black people.
He goes, "Can you take me to my car?"
That's it? Did he say, "Hi, how you doing?"
No, he just says, "Can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure. Can you take me to my car?" And I'm thinking, okay, his car must not be too far away if he's at this gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Okay, do you need gas?" And he goes, "I already have the gas. I just need to get to my car. I ran out of gas on the side of the road." I said,
I'm sorry. I have never carried a gas can with me. It might.
Yeah, I don't have one.
They
sell them at the gas station.
Okay.
I just would not happen to have a gas can in my car if that happened to me.
Some people do have them in their car.
Because they're that irresponsible. Let me knock wood right now. I've never run out of
gas. I'll tell you, I have a few friends that have one, and it's only because they once ran out of gas and had to buy one, and then they keep it.
Yeah, the people that have it are people that have ran out of gas in the past.
Exactly.
Okay. And so he's telling me, I just bought this car. I didn't understand the gas mileage thing, and I ran out of gas. And I said, okay, this is where I need to make a choice. Is this guy up to no good, or is this guy genuinely stranded and needs a ride to his car? Mm-hmm. He seems nice. He looks clean cut. Didn't look like he have a mean bone in his body.
Got a cool accent.
He's got a cool
African
accent.
African tribal accent. Yeah.
Just African accent. So I said, you know what?
He's new to the country, obviously, and JC wants to be hospitable.
Shout out, because I once came to this country and I needed help. And I said, YOLO, why not?
Did you say YOLO?
No, I didn't say it out loud, but in my head, I'm going like, come on. Good. I've always wanted to give a hitchhiker a ride, and this is my opportunity. So I said, sure, hop on in. Mm-hmm. So he gets in the car. And
did you find out first how far away his car was?
No, Kelly. That
might have been a key piece of information.
So we get in the car, and we're sitting there awkwardly making conversation.
Yourself?
Yeah, I didn't even know. I was so nervous and excited, I didn't even tell him my name. So we're sitting in awkwardly, and I turn on the car, and I was like, so where are we going? And he goes, and I start driving, and I get on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I go left, right, and he goes,
I don't remember where my...
Did you let him play DJ?
Phoenix.
No. I had it on a news station, Jen. I just had it on talk
show. Just don't.
Don't
look to your right or left. Straight ahead and head to Phoenix.
So,
in the news,
is that
like,
what
there's an escaped convict in a suit.
Man. So I'm sitting there, and
it's
and
part
I'm
of
like,
some big scam.
I'm telling him, where do I go? And he
Phoenix
goes,
scam.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not from this area, so I don't really know the area, so I don't really remember where my car is.
You can't remember which way you came walking up from?
Right. So he said he had gotten a ride to the gas station, and he doesn't really remember. And I said, okay, can you give me a vicinity? And he goes, it was by a highway.
This guy's good. He asked somebody to give him a ride to the gas station. He got two suckers.
How many highways do you live in the middle of, JC?
I live by, two highways, but one is way further than the other one.
Right.
You know? And so I'm like, I'm hoping it's the closer one.
I would assume
You could have asked him, is there a lot of construction on this
highway? So I start asking
him
questions about the construction.
That would be a clue.
And he goes, I think one of the roads is this. And I said, okay, perfect. There's two highways that it could be. I'm going to go to the closest one, and then maybe something will catch your eye, and then you could tell me where your car is, and hopefully I don't get murdered.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Hopefully this doesn't go down.
When did he ask you to drive through the ATM?
He did not ask me to drive through the ATM. So he goes, my name is Prince. And he goes, just out of the blue. And I'm like, cool. Now I know this guy's name. Just
like
in case
Prince? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did he say, Kiss?
No, he's obviously royalty.
Oh, okay.
So we start driving. And I'm aimlessly driving at this point. It's been 15 minutes. And then we get stuck in the worst traffic because there's some construction on the road I decided to pick. So we're sitting there.
In traffic with the hitchhiker with a can full of gas.
We're not really vibing with the talking.
And his name is Prince.
So we're stuck in traffic. And he looks at me and he goes, so what do you do? Like super serious. And I said, okay, this is where I need to establish my manhood. My man,
you need to brag about how rich you are because you're a radio and TV star.
Goes,
that's when you start trying to impress him, JC.
No. You got to tell
him.
You're the ultimate fighter.
This is your chance to intimidate.
I'm a little bit sweaty and I'm like in gym clothes because
you're nervous.
Honestly, I had been at my house dancing with my kids to the new Taylor Swift album.
Okay, don't tell him that's what you do.
So that's what I was doing at home.
Did you have a shirt on?
Yeah, I had a tank top.
I know it's a 50-50 shot.
Yeah, a tank top.
I was wearing a tank top.
Dude, it was 40 degrees yesterday.
But we were dancing in the house. And so I'm like, okay, I'm not going to tell him I was dancing to Taylor Swift. So what was I doing? I go, I just got done doing some extreme Brazilian jiu-jitsu at a gym.
Extreme.
Yeah, I threw the word extreme in there.
Brazilian.
Yeah, Brazilian jiu-jitsu is what I told him I was doing.
As long as you put the jiu-jitsu in there,
and
just I got an extreme Brazilian whack just a couple of seconds.
That's actually the only thing that pops up in Google. Extreme Brazil, the only thing that pops up is wax.
So I'm like, it catches his attention. He goes, how long have you been doing that? And I said, since I can remember, sir. I've been doing it for years.
Uh-huh.
He goes, that's great.
But what if he's an extreme fighter, too, and he starts rattling off some of these different moves?
So I got to up him, you know? And he goes, what else do you do? And I was like, oh, you know, I was just doing some tactical training with my friends over the weekend.
No, see, now he knows.
Okay, now you're lying. You did not say that.
I did say that to him.
Now you know.
Because we had been talking about it. We had been talking about it, and Jenna said she wants to do tactical training with the cast. And I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and say I already did it, since we're going to do it anyways.
Not jujitsu. I want to do the, like, Criminal Minds.
I know.
Did you throw in the theme from SWAT in your
the radio. And this is when it gets awkward. So when I tell them this, it gets quiet again, right? And we're listening to the news. And then they start talking about home invasions and carjackings. And how people are getting, how people are carjacking you.
Did he turn the radio off real quick?
And he's just staring there and he goes, so, you know, I called the police to make sure that they came out to help me with my car, but they didn't show up. And he starts talking about police and how he's a good guy. And I'm like, okay, this is getting sketchy now. I'm really getting nervous. And it's been like 30 minutes. And he finally lights up and he goes,
30 minutes?
Yeah. Oh, Al, we got stuck in the worst traffic. And he goes, that's the freeway. That's the freeway up there. I remember this. This is where I turned onto the ramp. And I said, perfect. So I start merging onto the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Red lights. Just everybody's brake lights are on. And I'm like, there's no way.
Probably because there's some car up there that ran out of gas blocking traffic.
Kelly, we are stuck in the worst traffic on this freeway. And he goes, it's probably because of my car.
See?
And I said,
it's a trick.
I was like, how bad could this be?
He probably didn't even bother moving it to the shoulder. He just got out and left it.
If you know you're running low on gas, get in the right lane.
Thank you, right?
Get in the right lane.
So I'm like, how could there be traffic if you just pull off to the side? Your car should just be on the side of the road. So I'm like, okay. As we get closer, I see all these lights. There's like three cop cars, and I can't tell if it's an ambulance or a tow truck until we get closer.
Did the guy say punch it?
And he goes, "That's my car up there. That's my car." And I said, "You're up there." We get to his actual spot. The dude was he was parked perfectly next to this emergency lane. He stopped in the middle of the highway. Just right in the middle of the highway.
So you helped an idiot.
Yeah, I helped an idiot.
I'd put him out right there just for being stupid.
And so he goes, they're already putting his car up on this tow truck.
Yeah.
He starts banging on my window super hard, like to the point where I'm like, hey, man. Like, those are my windows. Like, he's pounding on my glass going, let my car down. Let my car down. I was like, first of all.
You know, you got power windows.
First of all,
they can't hear you.
Let your window down.
Don't hit my car window, please. I already gave you a ride for 35 minutes. We've been in this car together forever. So all of a sudden, he opens the door as we're driving past the tow truck, and I'm telling him, I'm just going to pull up in front of him so they can't drive off. Mm. As I'm telling him this, he opens the door. We're going about 15 miles an hour, 10 to 15 miles an hour.
He jumps out.
And jumps out. Not the most fleet of foot man in the world.
Did he roll?
Oh, Jenna, did he roll.
What?
It looked like I ran over a squirrel.
those tribal instincts.
Talk about making an entrance.
Oh, he is rolling, and I just see the three police officers directing traffic just stare at this guy like, what is this idiot doing? Or did this guy just push him out of his car? He rolls, stands up, and starts awkwardly running to the tow truck driver, and I'm like, I'm out. Like, I just sped up.
You're supposed to go back and argue with that tow truck driver and throw down your extreme Brazilian jiu-jitsu skill.
I'm like, I'm not putting up with this. So I jet, and I start driving home. I'm like,
he jet in rush hour bumper-to-bumper traffic?
No, because after the tow truck, it was open. So I jet, and I'm driving home. I'm like, that was the coolest experience ever.
Coolest.
How cool was that?
You are a father and a provider for your family. Right. That was a stupid, stupid thing you did.
The guy did a ninja roll, Kelly.
I appreciate you got a good story out of it, but that was a stupid, irresponsible thing you did.
I know it was.
Did you get his phone number?
No, I didn't get his phone number. I just remember he told me his name was Prince. I never told him my number. So I'm driving home, and I'm so excited to go home and tell Kenzie this story.
Oh.
Because it's so cool.
No, you go home and tell Kenzie you got stuck in traffic. You don't tell her that you picked up a strange man who's probably arrested right now.
I walk in. I'm so excited to tell Kenzie. I'm like, Kenzie, you won't believe what just happened. I walk in, and she's sitting there with her hands on her hips.
Yeah, because you just went to go get gas for a minute.
And she goes, you said you were just getting gas. I thought you walked out on our family.
See?
She thought I walked out on the family. I said,
obviously, things aren't well if that was the first thought that popped in your head.
That's bad because he goes around making stupid decisions.
The first thought that pops in your head. That means things are not right.
And your wife thinks when you leave your family for good that you're leaving in a tank top.
Right? I was like,
I believe that.
I was gone for an hour, so she thought that my 5-minute drive to the gas station meant I was leaving forever.
You didn't take your cell phone with you?
Nope. I was going to the gas station.
So you could have been in an emergency situation. Yeah. No way to call
for help.
Couldn't
track you.
Yeah, couldn't track you.
You got kidnapped.
Strange, violent man.
Right, but it was cool.
Thank you.
That was such a cool story, though.
Oh, boy.
Like, I finally picked up my first hitchhiker.
And done. Okay. You know what, Jason? Check that off.
And last.
When I grow up to be your age, I hope I'm just like you.
Thanks, Jenna.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show is back.
We wish you a Taylor Swift miss. We wish you a Taylor Swift miss. We wish you a Taylor Swift miss. And you can win here.
You can win here if you call 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK-IT.
We'll send you to the 1989 World Tour in either Baton Rouge, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Chicago, San Diego, or St. Louis, but you need to be call number 13. And if you don't live in that city, we'll fly you there. Compliments to Southwest Airlines.
Sure will.
No problem right
cool
there.
Like that.
12 days of Swiftmas. What are we on now, Al? 2, 4, 6.
8.
8.
Hopefully it won't be the Southwest Airlines plane that had the baby born on it last night.
Somebody has cleaned that up.
Yeah, I guess
I'm sure they'll clean that one up. It happens.
That's kind of cool.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, she was on the Victoria's Secret fashion show yesterday. Al, did you watch this?
I did not. I watched a little bit of The Voice, and that was it.
Jen, I know you watched this. You're all into fashion.
Actually, I went to a hockey game, but I recorded the show and went home and skipped the commercials and watched it. I'll be totally honest. I was really bored.
Mm-hmm. It was only an hour long, right?
Yeah, it was only an hour. I know they have a lot of like fluffer material in there that's like just how they make the bras and all of that stuff. But I don't know. It just felt a little soft for me. Not as sexy as it's been in years past. I don't know if it was my mood or what it was. The lingerie is beautiful, stuff we would never wear, but I don't know, maybe it was all the performances were very slow.
Yeah. I like seeing girls with not, you know, dressed like that, but yeah, it's still a fashion show at the end of the day, and I'm probably not going
to
watch.
Did you watch, Kelly? Did you get to see some of it?
No, honestly, I was busy with wrapping up with the muralist.
Kelly's got a muralist. Then,
Kelly's got a muralist.
He's finished now. I'll have to.
How'd it come out?
It looks really great.
Okay,
I'll take a picture and share it with everybody. And then I was packing up gifts for disadvantaged children.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
I didn't indulge myself in the Victoria's Secret.
I mean, it's not
show.
It's not like
I forgot it was on,
I know.
Too.
It's not like you missed
there
much.
There was that, too.
It's mostly models walking down the runway, and there's some of the biggest celebrities in the world singing while they do that.
Well, I'm disappointed. If they want to make it fun and show how they're trying to show that these beautiful girls have personalities and they're fun and sexy and stuff. Why didn't they leave in the part where Ariana Grande got the crap knocked out of her head?
They took that out.
That was the funniest meme on the internet. People probably tuned in just to see that moment. And from what I heard, they edited it out.
They did. They did not show that.
She was just, when she was singing in the middle of the stage, these models were walking around you with these ginormous wings and Ariana got hit.
Mm-hmm.
Since they pre-taped this, we learned that happened, but they didn't include that in the show.
Here's the thing about the show.
Okay.
I wish they did it live.
Yeah.
I wish it was live, like an award show, because that's what gives you that element of what could go wrong.
Right.
When you tape it prior to airing it,
whatever goes wrong, you edit it out.
Exactly. You know, everything's going to be perfect. There's not going to be anything worth talking about except the performances.
What's the purpose? I mean, they don't sell this stuff. They don't sell this stuff in the store.
Exactly.
Some of it they do, but they costume it up, if that makes sense. So, you can buy those $1 million bras. Not many people can afford those, and I don't know who would want it anyways.
I heard that they take the bras apart because the jewels, I mean, nobody ever buys them.
Right.
You could,
but no one does.
But they disassemble the bras and the jewels go into
things. Some of the
things.
Stuff I've seen, and you know, in the catalog, they do sell it, but they've just costumed it up a lot.
Right.
I like how much personality the models are allowed to have on the runway.
I'm sorry, because it's not a serious show. It's not a serious runway
show. They throw their hands up, they're smiling, they high-five each other, they're hugging, they pat each other on the booty here and there.
I just felt like I like it when they have more of a balance and it's not just so poppy.
Right.
You know, more of a balance musically, because Ed Sheeran, he's excellent, but he did a slow song.
Let's go through the performances. Sheeran, Ariana Grande, Taylor Swift all performed.
Hosier did as well.
And Hosier did as well.
Take Me to Church song, which is slow. And I like that song. I like them, but...
And you got a bunch of what was going on in the background, in the backstage area. Taylor talked about what she thinks just before going out on the runway.
I definitely think about just like shoulders back, don't be pigeon-toed.
Don't fall.
Don't fall is important.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, I shouldn't have even said it.
And I just want to make sure I don't knock anyone over. Because when you're in a zone and you're performing, and you're not used to a different girl coming at you every 10 seconds.
And the wings.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah, they're amazing.
But wow.
I know.
And Taylor came out and she opened up the Victoria's Secret fashion show.
Okay.
With Blank Space.
Nice to meet you, where you've been.
I love that song.
Incredible things. Magic, madness, heaven, sin. Saw you there and
I love her personality when she
has a different voice on this and that. Don't tell him that I didn't warn you. I just love it.
And the way she acts during this song, the way she gets into character every time.
She's so darn cute.
It's so cool. She gets that little crazy
pigeon-toed self.
That's the thing, Chloe, though. So darn cute. Like, that's how you feel about her and how you feel about Ariana. They're so young.
Right.
So to be singing as these girls are in lingerie, well, I don't know. I just, it didn't make me get in, like, a sexy mood.
Yeah. Speaking of Ariana Grande, she didn't want to just sing.
What'd she want
to
do?
She wanted to maybe spank a booty.
While I'm singing, can I, like, interact with you guys?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I want to, like, spank a booty.
So she's not all cutesy.
All right.
Ariana, a freak.
Look how bad she is.
She's so bad.
Bad girl.
Spanking a model
she's
booty.
Naughty.
She's so bad.
She sounded great.
She did
naughty
sound
girls
great.
Don't ask for permission to spank booties.
That's true.
Ariana
just go
Grande.
For it.
Just
go for it.
You That's just true. Go do it, girlfriend. She did a bunch of her songs, but here's a little clip of Love Me Harder.
Cause if you want to keep me, you gotta to love me harder. I love you, love you, love you. And if you really need me, you gotta
Man, I don't get how she has such a humongous voice and she's that tiny.
Comes in small packages, brother.
It's like we got a brand new Mariah Carey. That's,
yep.
She does the whole.
Sounds a lot like
she
her.
Loves the comparison the to Mariah. By the way, she
Who
loves
wouldn't?
That.
Yeah.
She does.
Being facetious.
Well, she does the runs. She's always got the runs going.
She wants to be Ariana Grande, not Mariah Jr.
She did a bunch of songs though. She was out there for a bit.
Give
yeah.
me Mariah.
She,
Jr.
Yeah, she
the
did.
The fastest song that I heard last night was "Bang Bang," and she did a little bit of that.
She did "Bang Bang." What was the first single she had out? She did that one.
That one.
99 problems?
Problems. She did problems.
Problems.
She did her little dance where she does the hip thing that Kelly says.
When Rihanna was sitting in the audience laughing at her.
Yeah, when Rihanna laughed at her.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, performance of the night goes out to Ed Sheeran.
Really?
He performed Thinking Out Loud and just listen to this man's voice out.
Guitar.
I'm a dude.
Close our eyes out.
Make you cry.
Close your eyes. Don't even look at the girl.
It doesn't make you cry. It just does something. It just has a reaction. My body has a reaction to Ed Sheeran's voice.
All right,
this guy's smooth.
Unless you're driving.
I want to see on Kid TV. I hope people are watching Kid TV. I want to see how he looks when he's singing this because he's got the best looking man in the world.
And he makes you feel things?
So for him to make this kind of music is the smartest move ever. Because I guarantee you that he got one of these models.
No,
last
he has
night
a girlfriend.
He has a girl.
No,
oh, he
and
does.
He's faithful.
Yeah. And he's super. He's like the
Seriously?
Best dude on top of everything.
He's a good guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he got out there with his guitar. Yeah.
He had his girlfriend with him at the red carpet.
Yeah.
When he ran into Ellie Goulding.
And if he did not have a girlfriend,
yes,
I guarantee you he would have gotten one of these models last night.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he could have gotten two or three.
Love
any
this
performer
song,
is going to get a girl.
And if
that.
You don't have this album, buy it.
It's like an angel snuck into his throat and sang for him. Here it is.
Me, I fall in love with you every single day. And I just wanna tell you I am. So honey, now take me into your loving arms.
Wouldn't have sung that song for the show though,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
kiss me under the light of a thousand stars. Place your head
don't.
On my beating heart.
Yeah. Don't.
Like don't.
Yep.
Oh,
come
yeah.
on. That's a bedroom song. That's like I got scorned in the bedroom song. That was the wrong song for the show.
Or Gorilla.
I love it, Sheeran. I'm just saying that's the wrong song for the show.
Gorilla's
totally
Bruno
agree.
Mars.
I
know. I'm just saying. Sing Bruno Mars.
It would have been nice to have him come in and speed it up a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, I was honestly sitting there like,
how much fun the girls would have had walking out to this song? That's fun. That wasn't fun.
Thinking Out Loud is a great song.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wasn't.
Kelly,
you know
next
what?
Year.
It's not appropriate for the
next
show.
Year, you should choreograph the Victoria's Secret.
You know,
fashion
if someone
show.
Would ask me, I would happily do that.
No, they just used to mix it up a lot more. Remember when they had Snoop Dogg, do you drop it like it's hot, but they made it with strings? Which was so cool because then it's like kind of rap, but also kind of sultry.
Make
I don't
it a
know.
Classy.
I just like when they mix it up and balance out the slow. It was all slow.
Well, even after all of this, I'm still gonna feel uncomfortable going into Victoria's Secret to buy lingerie for my girlfriend for Christmas.
Why?
I don't know why. I just feel.
I would think you'd be proud that you.
I'm over that.
To buy for.
It's like I have a girl.
It's like when I go shopping in the men's department, even if it's for my brother, I pretend like it's not because it makes people think I have a man.
Right.
I don't know. It just makes me feel like. The women in there think that I'm thinking about doing it with my girlfriend.
No. They're not thinking about you doing anything
you
with your girlfriend.
That was the difference.
Oh no. I've always felt uncomfortable walking in.
I feel more uncomfortable when I watch the girls buy their underwear. Like
that's
when I'm in line.
I feel uncomfortable. Yeah. I see someone else's boyfriend, you know, like if I saw you and didn't know you,
right.
And then I'm in there buying the nude t-shirt bra and underwear that's not sexy.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, well, this is why I'm buying this unsexy
lingerie. Even the thong. I feel like I got to look away when the girl's buying the thong because it's like, I feel like she thinks I'm thinking of her in the thong.
I am.
So I'm trying to avoid all sorts of eye contact.
You guys know they have the catalog, so that kind of alleviates all of the...
Yeah. But I still go in there to buy stuff.
Yeah. I'll go, but I'm just uncomfortable.
I just like the experience.
But I'll still buy underwear for girls. I bought underwear for Shannon. Have I bought you underwear, Kelly?
Please don't.
Kelly doesn't want that.
No, you haven't, and please don't. It's highly inappropriate.
You don't know what Kelly likes, Al.
Have I bought you underwear, Jen?
I wear Victoria's Secret panties.
No, but I love it because I can never find any. So,
I love the body.
I lose it all.
The body line by Victoria's Secret, I like that a lot. They're cotton string bikini panties. They're my favorite cotton panties. I like those
a lot. They need to make dude stuff.
I don't know why I'm telling you all that.
They should make.
I just thought I'd share.
Oh, thank you, Kelly, because you want underwear.
Cotton panties.
Get Kelly the cotton panties from Victoria's Secret.
No, don't get me.
Please.
That's creepy. And
butted, please. Butted.
Yeah, she don't.
Yeah, I don't do the thong.
No way.
I just think that's unsanitary.
It's not. Well, it might be. I don't know. Hozier also performed that song, "Take Me to Church," is everywhere.
Yeah,
and I had never seen Hozier.
Yeah, he was great too, huh?
It blew my mind.
It's a guy?
It's a dude.
Guy?
Yeah.
A white guy, Kelly.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know about it. I thought it was a band. I thought Hozier was
again,
a band.
Again, though, slow. The song's great, though. Yeah. I love it.
Listen to Hozier. So, take me to church.
Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. I'll tell you my sins and you can show up in your night. Offer me their timeless death and good God. Let me give you my life. Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your life.
So all the performances last night were great. Nobody sounded bad. Everybody sounded awesome. Hozier turns out to be a white dude with long hair.
Is that surprising to you? You thought he was black?
Yeah, I thought it was a black
Why?
Dude. I don't know. I pictured a black dude singing.
Did they have the choir actually in at the fashion show?
No, it was just him out there.
They should have had the choir up there in some Victoria's Secret.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. That would have been cool.
Yeah. And now we started with Taylor. We finished with Taylor.
Merry Swiftmas!
The woman of the hour, Taylor Swift. Fashion shows, concerts, all that good stuff. Jennifer Frith, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
You're doing great?
What's up, Jennifer?
Well, you're great, just turned greater. You are, in fact, the 13th caller, Jennifer. Yeah! I know you should.
I can't hear her scream. I know.
We want to hear her scream.
I ring a bell every single time. Every time.
Would you mind, Jennifer? Would you mind screaming again? Al ruined it for
me. Yeah, Jennifer.
I'm ringing the bell every single time.
Hold on.
I can't even hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Then you ring the bell.
I ring the bell at the same time, every time.
Jennifer, who are you going to be taking to the 1989 World Tour?
I'm going to be taking my daughter, Ava.
Oh, how old is Ava?
She's 9 years old. She just turned 9 last Friday.
Oh, that's so perfect.
Nice birthday/Christmas present.
Yay.
Perfect. What are you doing right now? Jennifer, going to work or something?
I am on my way to work, actually. I had to pull over, so I hope I'm not too late.
Yeah.
No, they'll understand. This is a big deal to win these tickets. I hope your boss is cool.
Yeah, they are.
Well, you'll be making your way to Taylor Swift's 1989 World Tour in either San Diego, Tampa, Dallas, Baton Rouge, Omaha, Pittsburgh, or Chicago, thanks in part to Southwest Airlines. And the tickets are on sale right now to the tour, but good luck finding them. That thing sold out so fast.
Yeah, they sold out in 3 minutes.
I know.
Did you try to buy some, Jennifer?
I did.
Oh.
I did.
Couldn't get them, huh?
No,
yeah.
Not a chance.
We have to worry about it now. You got them for free.
Congratulations, Jennifer.
I'm so excited. Y'all have been crying every day. This is awesome. This is the best Christmas ever. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, thank you for listening.
Paid off. Trying and trying pays off.
12 Days of Swift Miss. We'll do it again tomorrow morning. That's two incredible winners back to back right there.
Yep.
Two good screamers.
Nothing like a good screamer.
Yep.
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Congratulations to Jen Frith. She'll be on her way to the 1989 World Tour. Compliments to Southwest Airlines, whatever city she may end up at.
Very nice.
We'll do it again tomorrow. 12 Days of Swiftness. We have 8 winners so far. Kelly, how's the love life going?
It's fine.
Going good?
Yeah.
Sounds
I mean,
pretty
there's
well.
Nothing to tell.
Lots of love.
Lots of love going on?
Not really. But I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
It doesn't mean I'm lonely and sitting at home, you know, crying into my pillow every night.
You're having
night.
A good time.
I'm very busy.
All the love experience you have endured in your life has led you to this point.
Yeah, exactly. I am happy to dole out tons of advice to those who ask.
So let's do it.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
I had my office Christmas party over the weekend.
Uh-oh.
I was on my best behavior. My husband, on the other hand, made a fool of himself. He was wasted. He was talking loudly with my coworkers about my boss's boobs being fake, and I'm pretty sure she heard him talking about her. He told crude jokes that made people uncomfortable. He was obnoxiously trying to get people to take shots. He was so drunk he couldn't even see them rolling their eyes. Needless to say, when I went in on Monday, it was awkward and uncomfortable, and I didn't know if I would still have a job. So far, I do, but every day feels like it could be my last.
Wow. Oh.
I can't move past this until he apologizes, but he doesn't remember any of it. He doesn't understand how he put my job in jeopardy and doesn't feel like he did anything wrong. He says he was just trying to make a boring party fun. How can I get him to see my side of it? Denise.
Denise, you can't make him apologize. You apologize. If you want to get the elephant out of the room, go to your boss and say, look, I have to get this off my chest.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed about the way my husband behaved. I apologize. I assure you this will never happen again because, you know, just
I won't bring him to,
bring him to the next party or whatever you have to say. You can't just let this linger and hang over the room. It is awkward.
Yeah.
And the only way to get past it is just, and once you confront something like that,
you take away the power.
And it's just, but you know what, a relief just to get it out.
And thank you for apologizing, you know. Yeah.
You're not going to make your husband march in your, there is no way on God's green earth he is going to walk into that office. He's not. So you apologize for his behavior and move on.
What about a handwritten note?
No, he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it.
What if you write
the
note?
So either keep fighting and making your life miserable at home. Or keep being miserable at work by not saying anything. Those are your choices. No, you go into the boss, you apologize. And you're going to have to let that go. But lesson learned, he's not going back to the next holiday party.
Oh, but he's going to want to go.
No, too bad.
He can't go, man.
No.
He's ruined that.
Humiliating? No. Yeah.
Never again?
Can't do that at your spouse's party.
No. It's okay to have a few drinks.
I know what happens. That's why we take calls on it. It happens. And luckily, you have a little break over the holidays where you hope most people forget it. But
and some people just, you know, if a guy's just being silly and everybody's kind of laughing and ha-ha, but he was making rude comments about your boss's breasts.
Yeah.
That's over the line,
that's
especially
way
to other people.
Over the
so
line.
You got to apologize. You have to apologize for your husband's behavior.
Does she divorce him over it?
Yes, and then file for
love
divorce.
Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
I got married to my high school sweetheart about 4 months ago, and marriage isn't anything like I thought it would be.
It never is.
I expected to come home every night, and she would have dinner waiting for me, and we would spend our nights together, cuddled up on the couch watching TV. Instead, I usually grab something to eat on the way home because she works late and we're both worn out by the end of the day and we just end up going to bed. I'm having a really hard time getting over the disappointment and I'm acting passive aggressive towards my wife over it. How can I get over it and accept reality without taking it out on my wife anymore? And that's from Michael.
It's kind of funny because usually it's the woman that has visions of that, right? I remember when I first got married, I couldn't do enough. I ironed all of his shirts and I'd want to do all these things and then realize suddenly that you can't keep up that facade of what marriage and love and cuddling on the couch is. This is your reality, and you need to sit down with your wife before it festers into something that you can't, you know, sometimes you let it get so awful that there's no coming back from it. I don't know if I said that right, but you need to at least sit down and talk to her and say, you know, I'm feeling a little bit resentful that we're not spending enough time together.
Yeah.
We need to make a concentrated effort. If we can't have dinner together every night of the week, like I kind of envisioned, we need to at least have a date night every week. I mean, you both sound like young on the come up at work, so you got to put in the hours, but at least, and why does she have to be the one cooking with the meal waiting for you? Why can't you surprise her and have a romantic dinner? Whoa, if you want romance, bring the romance.
You cook dinner, or you go
and
get something.
You're not working on the weekends, maybe during the week, it's just impossible, that's your life. But, you know, I love these family experts that say, no matter what, always have dinner together as a family,
it's
which
hard.
Only makes you feel worse as a parent, because it's not the reality of people's lives anymore. This isn't, I'm sorry, it's not the best scenario. This is what we're living with. You make the best of what you have. And if you can find one night a week, this is our date night, baby. I'm going to do this for you. What? Don't put the romance on her all the time.
Yeah.
Why does she have to be cooking dinner too if she's working?
He probably
he needs to bring it too.
I mean, they can eat
twice a month.
No, yeah, I guess so. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, I work, so whenever I've been in a relationship, it's, you know, I'll pick up food.
Sometimes it's
not cooking. It's just you're doing it on the convenience.
Right.
Meal. Like,
right.
I'll pick up food and we might have like 10 minutes and we sit and eat. And then it's like, we got to do work.
I mean, it's like, I guess guys remember what it was like. Like, my mother had dinner for us every night.
Mm-hmm. My mom did too, yeah.
And that's just the way it was. And so maybe guys are like, well, this is the way a home is supposed to be run.
Exactly.
But your mom probably wasn't working the hours your wife is. And, you know, it's just times have changed.
And she probably
just adjust your expectations.
She's on the come up at work and she's working way more hours, like Kelly said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't expecting that.
But you need to address it. You can't just let it go or you're going to get so resentful that you're going to, like you said, you're being passive aggressive and you're going to say something, do something, and you're not, and then you feel like, well, I must not really love her because I don't love her today. So I need a divorce. That's where it's going to go if you don't address it.
Yeah. Bright side is you do want to spend more time with her, so that's good.
But what about this? What if she actually made dinner at night for the next night?
The crock pot thing. That's what everybody always says. Do the crock pot.
Do the crock pot.
Throw it
still
in the
whooping.
Morning and it's ready when you get home. That's what everybody always says.
Yeah,
everybody has great intentions.
Put some beans in there, some ground
She's
meat.
Working.
Chili beans, you'll be fine.
It's life. It'll
He can do it too. He can throw on a soup starter just like she can.
She can.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
This is from sweet, sweet Patrick. Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
What's the easiest way to figure out how much you should spend on your significant other's gift for your first Christmas together? I love giving people gifts, and sometimes I go a little overboard, so I'm scared to agree to a spending limit with her. I don't want her to feel obligated to spend a whole bunch of money on me. I've tried to bring it up several times, but we've both gotten uncomfortable and changed the subject. She doesn't have much family, and I'm really the only person who's going to be giving her gifts, so I want to make them special. Is it better to go a little overboard to make sure she has a good Christmas, or will that make her feel bad if she doesn't do the same? Why does this have to be so stressful?
Don't go overboard. It's ridiculous. You're not showing her how much you love her by giving her these grand gifts. You need to read Jennifer Lopez's book. Jennifer Lopez's book. She addresses this very scenario. She was mistaken the passion and the excitement of all these big, exciting gifts for true love. That's not true love. You give her one or two special things because it is embarrassing I've been in the reverse where I'm the girl and I come with all this stuff because I want to show you how much I love you. Again, I'm mistaking. I'm going to buy your love and I want you to stay with me because look how much I do for you and look how great I am. You're going to get all this stuff. And then he shows up with one book or a little thing of perfume, and then I'm disappointed. Obviously, he doesn't love me as much as I love him. See where it gets all screwy?
Exactly.
So it's not about the size of the gift. It's about the sentiment behind it. This is the thing. Pay attention to things she says. Like, just make a note. Don't make a big deal. If she said, like, I remember a friend of mine said she was so upset because her grandmother died, and she went back, and the only thing she remembers was this. She used to play tiddlywinks with her grandmother. I don't even know what tiddlywinks are.
I don't either.
But I remember because tiddlywinks is a word that stuck with me. And she said, I went through the attic and I couldn't find that box of tiddlywinks. And she said, just really, months pass. I'm at a store and I see a box of tiddlywinks. So I wrap them up and give them to her for Christmas. She starts bawling. She's so moved. For a $10 box. But you see what I'm saying? It was
emotional.
Because I paid attention and I did something that touched her at the heart. And that's what you got to do. You don't have to spend, you don't have to buy these yesterday, today, and tomorrow diamonds for a girl you've been dating 3 months. It's ridiculous.
But you know, some guys, that's their love language. They want to buy. Like, you encounter that. And this is the thing. I think if you want to spend a lot of money on her, you mask it not with a material thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't put the money in a purse or shoes or something. You put it in concert tickets or take her to a sporting event.
Experiences.
That she loves. And if you really want to spend the money, then she doesn't know how much you spent. You can get the satisfaction of, I just spent money and I feel good about my gift.
Without embarrassing her
with a value. Because the girl is going to go look up how much those shoes were. She
Y'all
wants
do
to
that.
Exchange them. Yeah, she is. So if you don't want to know how much you spent and you want to spend a lot of money, I think that's cool. But just do it in an experience form. Because I'm impressed by that. Because you're spending time with her. You paid attention to something she likes. And you get really great seats at an event.
Oh, we got to spend money and spend time.
No, I'm just saying, a lot of guys like to do that.
Sometimes it backfires, though. I tried to do the emotional thing in high school. I had a girlfriend, and like our first date was playing the South Park game.
Yeah.
So I was at Toys R Us by my little sister toy, and I saw the game. And it was one of those where you needed to be 18 to buy it, and I was only like 16.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get a fake ID. Go back to Toys R Us, get the game for her, gave it to her, and she hated it.
Because she didn't know what love was. At that point, she wanted you to give her something she could show off to her friends, like a piece of jewelry or something, because that's what love was to her. That's not love.
My girlfriend wants me to spend 24 hours with her not doing anything but like hanging out at the house.
Oh, what a beating.
Man, right?
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the Christmas gift.
Can you break it up? Can you do 12 hours and 12?
Can I just buy you a laptop?
Do you get a lunch
break? Exactly, right.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
That was love letters to Kelly. If you have a love letter to Kelly, go to kidnation.com. We have a nice tab for you there. And just write your problem. She'll read it on air. Or we'll read it and she'll solve it.
I was just playing, baby. I'll spend all day with you.
Yeah, right.
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show. And now, another Kid Craddock Morning Show Christmas wish.
This is an awesome letter.
This is really cool. I think this is the first time we've had one like this.
It was written by a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And we actually have her mom on the phone right now. Hi, TJ.
Hello.
Good to talk to you, TJ. Now, your daughter wrote us a letter, with your permission, of course.
Yes, sir.
We are so impressed by Tony.
Yeah, it's not very often that we receive letters from kids.
For other people.
Other families, right. Which is, it's a beautiful thing. Tell us how you know the Martinez family.
My husband was in a boxing league with Ray when they were kids. And when we moved back to the area, we met up with them again.
And what prompted Tony to take it on herself to write this letter?
You know, I have no idea. She came into my room to tell me about your program, and my first reaction is, honey, we don't need it. Before I even said it, she said, I want to nominate the Martinez's. So, yeah, I was just tickled to death.
Well, we actually have April on the phone right now, and we want to bring her in. Hi, April.
Hi.
Do you have any idea what's going on right now?
No.
Do you know a little girl by the name of Tony, who's 13 years old?
Yes, sir.
Well, I have her mom on the phone, TJ.
Hey, TJ. Hey, April.
Tony wrote us a letter here at the radio station, and we'd like to read it to you, if that's okay.
Okay.
My name is Tony, and I listen to your show every morning before school. Now, even though I'm only 13, I'm writing with my mom's permission and her information. I would like to nominate the Martinez family. The family consists of Ray and April, who are the parents, three boys ages 13, 8, and 6, one girl age 11, and a baby girl due on December 15th.
Talk about a full house, huh?
Yeah. Congratulations on the upcoming baby.
We got one on the way. She's coming Tuesday.
She continues with, in May, their trailer burned down because of the neighbor's house fire. In August, April's father passed away in a car accident. Right now, they're working at Circle 6 Baptist Camp 3 days a week. And when they're not working, they're always helping other people. It's been a tough year for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Tony, at 13 years old, decided to write this letter for us.
That means so much to me. I mean, that really, really gets me.
Not only because obviously you guys are a part of her family. She sees you guys as part of her family. And what we're going to do, April, thanks to TJ and Tony, is we're going to go ahead and grant you a Christmas wish.
Okay.
Now, what that consists of is you telling us about your kids.
Yes.
And what they are looking for Christmas.
What is the boys into? You have talked my husband on that one here.
Well, let us talk to him. That's no problem.
Is Ray right there?
We can talk man to man.
Oh. yes, sir.
What's up, Ray? Ray?
Not much.
This is Big Al and JC from Kid Craddock in the Morning. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. A friend of yours, Tony, TJ's daughter, she's 13, and she wrote us a letter about your family, and we'd like to grant you guys a Christmas wish.
Oh, wow.
What are your boys, what do you think your boys, you got three boys, 13, 8, and 6, what are they into?
They're into sports. They like bikes. They like racing cars.
Bikes, racing cars.
Yes, but my 6-year-old just had a birthday, and he got a bike for his birthday from Tony's dad. And so the other two don't have new bikes, neither does my daughter. But, you know, that's totally up to y'all. Like I said, they're into sport. They like bikes.
Basketball hoop.
You know.
All right.
So football, sporting stuff.
Everything.
Well, check off two bicycles for two kids, all right?
Oh, wow. Thank you.
And we'll get you some basketballs, a couple footballs.
Yeah.
We'll get you some cars to play with.
Now, what about your girl? She's 11.
Yeah, put April on the phone, because I'm sure she knows the girls a little bit better, because you're the man of the house.
Yes, sir. All right, here she is.
All right.
April, we took care of the boys and what they want. Now, you got to let us know what the little girls want.
Chex
music.
Music?
Okay.
Well, here's what we'll do, April. We're going to give you a gift card to Toys R Us so that you and Ray can go into Toys R Us, leave the kids at home so they don't know what you're getting them, and just go shopping around that store and buy them whatever they want, okay?
Oh, my God. Thank you.
April, can you tell us what this means to hear that Tony wrote this letter so that your family could have a good Christmas?
A lot. Words can't describe how I feel right now. Oh my goodness. I didn't know people cared so much.
Merry Christmas, April.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Christmas wishes really do come true on the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, your troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide. From now on, your troubles will be miles away. Here we are as in olden days, happy olden days of yore. Dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together if the fates allow. Hang us shining stars.
Holidays from the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
You know what's crazy?
What's crazy?
Traveling.
Yeah, I hate traveling.
Especially this time of year. Crazy stuff happens. And, you know, we love Southwest Airlines. They do wonderful things for us for the kids' trip. They give us a plane. Now they're hooking us up, sending people to see Taylor Swift's 1989 World Tour. They're a full-service airline. They even help you deliver a baby.
Say what?
You hear about this in the news this week? A woman on a flight from San Francisco to Phoenix went into labor shortly after takeoff and had to deliver her baby. The plane diverted to LAX. They were on their way to Phoenix. Landed. A nurse and doctor just happened to be on the flight, assisted in the delivery and care of the mother and baby until the flight crews landed the plane. Paramedics got on, took over. Mother and baby doing well, transported to a local hospital. One passenger said they didn't even hear anything.
What?
There was like no significant noise during the delivery. Wow. Didn't hear any parent, either parent yelling, whatever.
Then the baby starts crying when it's born and the people are like, shut that baby up.
Right.
Maybe she was a Scientologist.
Oh, it was a silent birth.
Ooh. Well, silent birth.
Captain announced the birth on the loudspeaker, congratulating the parents, prompting applause. The passengers, 111 of them, ended up getting to go to Phoenix after all. They were on the ground for about 2.5 hours. You know, they had to land and take over and...
I'm sure the passengers were all thrilled.
Yay.
We're 2 hours late to Phoenix, but congratulations.
Congratulations. I missed my meeting, but
People are so understanding.
What do you name that baby? You name that baby, it's like
Southwest.
Air? Southwest?
Well, I wonder what the doctor and nurse's names were.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Mile High?
For your in-flight meal today, placenta.
You gotta name the baby something having to do with airborne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, airborne.
Where's there enough room to deliver the baby?
Right?
Like in the middle of the aisle?
You should do it in the aisle. Yeah.
How cool is that?
Like if you were sitting in front of her, you'd be so mad.
As long as that food tray's not cool.
Her legs would be scary. I mean, I'm glad the baby and everybody's okay, but that's not cool. I don't want to be on that flight.
There's always doctors in flights.
Always?
I'm sure there's always like at least one.
You think?
Or the person that's lied to the hot girl next to him and said he's a doctor and then this happens.
Oh, can you imagine if you're lying to a hot girl? Go deliver the baby. Go ahead.
Don't say you're a doctor on an airplane.
Craziest thing you saw on an airplane, we got a message on Facebook from Anel.
Okay.
Penguins.
Huh?
SeaWorld was transporting 5 penguins on the flight, and the flight crew allowed the trainer to take the penguins out to walk up and down the aisle.
Okay. Only on Southwest because they got good attitudes.
Now that.
I love
that's
it.
Cool.
I would love.
Little penguin walking up and down the aisle. Quack, quack, quack. Do they have to still sit down?
Well, they have the SeaWorld plane, don't they? Uh-huh. Southwest. So
I think they were doing a promotion. Penguins fly free.
My roommate and I were talking about this the other day because she had boarded a flight. You know, she was coming back from San Francisco, and the guy sitting next to her had just come from Australia.
Yeah.
So he had been traveling a long time. He said when he got on that flight, the woman after takeoff sitting next to him passed away. He said it was the craziest thing, and they just covered her up.
What is she going to do with it?
I know.
I don't know.
I mean, you got to put that little blanket
but
over.
They didn't, I mean, I guess he told her nothing could be done, and it was so weird.
You can't move them.
I mean, at least you get the armrest, right?
Amber had something similar, not to that extreme, I think. But Amber, what happened on the flight you were on?
So we were coming from Calgary to Dallas, and this lady was walking in the aisle next to me, and she just collapsed. And we found out later that it was a heart attack. And luckily, there was a nurse on the plane, and... I guess she was able to keep her stable until we got to Dallas. And it was supposed to be a 4-hour flight, but it ended up only taking us 2 hours because they were trying to get back so fast.
Yeah,
wow.
They got time when they need to, yeah.
Wow.
It was crazy. I always think about, I want to know what happened to her because, you know, after the fact, I didn't even get to hear an update or anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think about her all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, they should update the people that are on the flight when something like that happens just so you know if they're okay. Because now, like she said, she's always wondering what happened.
Well, I hope they didn't lose her luggage because that would really make that a
happy flight. It feels like an inconvenience to people when you're on the flight. Mm-hmm. You have somewhere to be in another flight. But I don't know. I try and think about myself. Like, if that were me,
yeah,
I would really hope that you guys would be okay if they landed the plane. You had to wait a couple hours.
I know. Kyle, you turned out to be the weirdest thing you saw on a plane.
Yeah, it actually happened to me. I was in... Vegas for NAB. It's like a film commission thing for broadcasters.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we were drinking a lot, going out, having yards and stuff. And then we also went to a club that night. But that wasn't the crazy part. When we were flying back to Dallas, we hit some bad turbulence coming in. And I was starting to feel kind of bad. But the craziest part was I was sitting next to this really hot chick. And I was talking to her the whole flight. We had good connection, everything. And when the turbulence hit, the drinks from last night hit. And I had to throw up in those disposable trash bags, basically.
They're in
the back seat. So anyways, after I throw up, we're taxiing, and she actually gives me her number.
Oh.
I never called her, but I was just like,
"You never called
her? You just
saw
me throw up. You just saw me throw up in front of you in a plane in close proximity. Can you give me your number?"
That's a cool chick.
That's the chick you married.
You should have married that girl, Kyle.
Missed opportunity.
I should have. It would have been a different life, but I don't know. I never did it.
Wow,
oh, Kyle,
dude.
Find that number and call her. That's wifey.
Do you know how
right
lucky
there.
You are to have, not only she gave you the number, I've never sat next to the hot chick on the plane. I mean, not a total stranger.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You always see them like down there waiting.
Oh, that's true, Dad. You sit next to Kelly all the time.
Well, I mean, on the plane, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
a total stranger.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I hope. And it's never.
I would have called Kelly back.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and get your number.
But she wouldn't answer if you threw up next to her, I'll tell you. No, no.
Oh, how cool is that? He still pukes and gets the number.
Man, when we went to London a couple years ago for the Olympics, I was seated next to a guy. He was so, and I looked awful. It's like, here I go. I'm sitting next to the guy of my dreams. He looked like Paul Rudd.
Uh-huh.
I was married. Oh, but I like crap anyway, so what are you going to do?
Nah, you didn't get it.
I was like, that was my chance. We're on a transatlantic. Is it transatlantic? If we go over the Atlantic Ocean?
Yeah.
We're on a transatlantic flight.
Yeah, you never get to sit next to the hot person.
I did. I blew it.
Jeff, your friend caused some commotion on your flight. What happened?
Yeah, kind of similar to the heart attack and the Vegas story. We went to Vegas for about 36 hours and decided it would be a good idea to not sleep and drink all the way up until the flight.
Uh-huh.
He started feeling a little faint midway through, and he's walking down the aisle, and I guess it all hit him, and he just went unconscious and collapsed and smacked his face first into the aisle, and the flight attendant screaming because he's unconscious running down the aisles, and he was out for a good 2 minutes. They thought he was they didn't know what was happening. When he finally came to, he was so embarrassed to tell him that he was hungover, he just told him he had a heart attack instead. So they called the doctor. They had a doctor waiting on the ground, and they were pumping him with oxygen. And yeah, we got out of there pretty quick when the plane landed.
He's giving you the thumbs up.
How'd you do in Vegas?
Yeah, it was all right.
You don't remember.
I'll tell you, I don't think I've ever been on a flight home from Vegas and not heard someone using the bag.
Yeah.
Wow. It's awful.
Blame it on the heart attack.
Yeah.
You got to do. Thanks, Jeff. You have a great day, buddy.
The Vegas plane ride home.
Mm-hmm. To anywhere. I don't
know. Vibe than the play. It's a different vibe than the Vegas plane ride there.
Oh, so much fun.
I wonder if flight attendants like that flight or hate it.
The most quiet flight is the one.
When that's always the leg that you have. Yeah, the Vegas trips. Well,
there you go. Keep it going on Facebook. We want to hear the craziest flight stories you've had.
Cool.
KidNation.com or go to our Facebook page.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.